Okay, this will be the last day on this thing of that we've been studying all last week of the trembling and fear. Isaiah 66 was the first one we read earlier, so it's the last one we're going to read for this today. One of the things that is common to all of the first century writings that I've been reading over the years is quotes this first couple verses to show how, for the most part, Israel missed the mystery because they literalized what were a series of parables in the Old Testament and worship the thing created instead of the thing or the one who created them. So put this into context. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? Now, again, they would answer and say, well, the temple. And then he says, for all these things hath mine hand made, and all these things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and of a humble, contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. So instead of seeing the temple itself and all of the Old Testament as the mystery of Christ, they saw it as they literalized the parable. Everybody understand that? So this is why the gospel is always the same. It's the same gospel that's in the New Testament is the same gospel that's in the Old Testament. There's no difference. Both of them reveal Christ and our response to Christ. So now he goes through and talks about what these sacrifices mean to him. In verse 3, he that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. Now, do you understand? They all killed an ox. They all killed the oxen all through the years. He that sacrifices a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. So again, the lamb was offered every day numerous times, especially on the feast days. And he said it's as if you cut off a dog's neck, which is a meaningless thing.
Well, I'm sure it was just as much cruelty to animals back then as it is now.
Okay. And he that offereth an oblation or a sacrifice as if he offered swine's blood. And he that burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. I also will choose their delusions, and will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighteth not. So he's condemning all of the Israel's, but he's also condemning us. You see why? Because anytime we think we're doing something that's good, we are offering a swine's blood. All right, then this is... Hear the word of the Lord, you that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear unto your joy, and they shall be ashamed. So the whole, and this is so that we can maybe finally see that the entire Old Testament is a parable and much of the New Testament is a parable. But when we literalize the parable, then we go off in the same direction that Israel did. Okay? My buddy, see that? Well, in verse 5 again. Hear the word of the Lord, you that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you and cast you out for my name's sake said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth her. Before she travailed, she brought forth before her pain came. She was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard of such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travaileth, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to birth and not cause to bring forth? Saith the Lord, shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith the Lord? Rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all you that love her. Rejoice with joy, rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her, that you may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations, that you may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and his glory and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream, and shall you suck, you shall be born of her sides, and dandled upon her knees. That's obviously a parable or a description of the bride. And so starting out with he that trembleth at his word is the beginning point. And that never leaves you. Because the more revelation of Christ you see, the more you see after the flesh, you tremble at his word. Okay, let's go to Philippians 2. Well, let's start in, excuse me, verse 5, which we've looked at 100 times. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's hard for us to understand when it says, but we must continue with him in his temptations or his test. The same issue as we are, hopefully we are out of it, but mostly we are in it. We are in the same position that he was before his baptism, before his burial. He was the mystery of the seed was already in him, just as it is already in us. But that seed of Christ can't be revealed until you see the vanity of everything that you can judge by your senses, or everything you can walk by your senses. This is why the word poor, where he says, and he came to preach the gospel to the poor. This is why that word poor has nothing to do with money. It's to remember it's paktos, which means you have no more anything in the world system that you give any breath to. To give breath means to give any importance to. And so there, when you are in that position of poverty, then you can hear. When you're not, you'll just use the name of Christ or the name of God to enhance your things after the flesh. And it's and this is the state of the church. And unfortunately, the stage of many in this community. You are still trying to get God to bless something or not bless something that is in you after the world system. Who being in the form of God, verse 6, thought it not robbery or something you'd be grasped to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. And as you know, that word no reputation is the word kino. It means to empty to the point of a vacuum. And took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Now that name which is above every name has to be in you, and you have to recognize it, so that your only life is Christ. Therefore, your only life, you continue with him in his test, you never again use your mind for anything. Everybody see that a little? You may not be there, but can you see that's what it means to continue with him in his test? Your test is supposed to be dead and buried in baptism. But if it's continuing in your test, then, you, as I said a million times, you didn't get baptized, you just got wet. Now, I assume your silence means that everybody agrees. Tom, you're musing. You're doing Gary.
I am doing Gary, because I've always hated it when you say that. Your silence means everybody agrees. No, it just means I can't vocalize what my disagreement is, if I'm going to disagree. And I don't disagree. But that doesn't mean that you can trap me in some kind of legalistic, you know, if you don't come up with something to say, you're automatically, you know, agreeing with me.
I don't mean that.
I know you don't mean it. It just, that's the way I hear it. That's why I don't like it.
And that's why I'm going to say it again.
Well, you can say it all you want. No, it's tough being Gary. I hope he comes back soon.
Do you think it's impossible not to use your mind?
I think it's the reason why we have 60, 70, 80 years to live on this planet. You know, why we don't just get it right the first time and it's all over with. You know, that it's part of this thing of trying to work these things out, find out if these things are true.
Right. Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling.
I never get the fear and trembling part, but I get the rest of it.
The fear and you won't get the rest of it until you get the fear and trembling.
Well, I'm probably in a lot of trouble.
Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Let me ask any of you, we've talked what that means, fear and work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. The only way that can happen, I can preach till hell freezes over, that your mind is the instead of Christ, the Antichrist. And he is the one that's in his temple, which is you, but you've kept him in prison. You keep him mostly in prison. Because as long as you use your mind, his humility, it will take him down to the lowest point in the temple, which is a prison. Now, unfortunately, the general, well, anyway, I don't know about everybody, but in all those years, when I tried to find a church, I found no church that preached, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. It was all about, accept God as your personal Savior, and then you will have the blessings of God all. But that's not what it says. That's not what the Bible is about. So we have the ultimate heresy in that, which is the prosperity gospel. But it's not as ultimate, but it is in many ways the same as, well, now it's your battlefield, it's over for you because you've accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. Now you're automatically going to heaven, or whatever that means. You understand? This is why we are in the state of the church in the world, including us, is the worst it's been since the beginning of time. And that's serious. There's not an end time. You know, everybody talks about the end time revelation. That's what we're about now. Well, the end time revelation is fear and trembling. To think you've arrived is the worst possible thing. To think you're right and live it is the second worst possible thing. It's always repentance. It's always moving towards, away from you, towards Him.
I think that's the key. That when he calls us, he wants us to come to him for everything.
But you can't come to him until you see the emptiness of the world.
Well, that's something that he does, you know?
Well, he does it, but you have to be willing to accept it and see it.
Right. So, again,
but most people don't.
It's coming to him. And that's, you know, if the world doesn't come to him...
Well, he's not worried about the world. He's worried about the church.
Well, I mean, if you don't come to him for everything, you know, does that fear and trembling...
No, if you don't come to him in everything, then the garment is spotted by the flesh. And so the only way that you can get out of that position is in fear and trembling.
So let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus is the mind that comes to the Father for everything. And the fear and trembling doesn't necessarily mean that I fear and tremble the Father. I fear and tremble because I see him, and anything that would take me away from him causes me fear and trembling.
That's right. And that's what I've said. And that's what I've preached. And that's why using your mind for anything just causes the garment to be spotted by the flesh.
Yes, but the mind of Christ in me shows me. Like this morning, I was on my way here, or was it last night? I don't know, going from here to home. And my thoughts, all of a sudden, when I saw myself, what I was thinking, oh my word, I was just in a state of extreme fear coming to him. Oh, Father, you know what I'm thinking? Look at this. No, no, I refuse that. But it's the mind of Christ. It's the fear and trembling of seeing him and seeing the evil one in me and coming to him for that. And that's when he can do. You know, if I would have at that point continued and chosen to still, you know, but so I think the mind of Christ, I see this battling in me, you know, what I long, what I want to do, what I don't want to do. So I think, you know, he opens the eyes of the Spirit in us, and at that point you choose.
And remember, the Holy Spirit has come for three reasons. Anybody remember them?
Sin, righteousness, and judgment.
Sin, because they believe not on him.
Righteousness, because he goes to the Father, and judgment, because the prince of the world is judged.
Right. So those are the only positions. That's the only place. I brought it to you. Let's go to John 16. Okay. Is it John 16?
Yeah, it's John 16, verse 8.
And Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet...
Where are you?
Oh, I'm in the wrong place. Never mind. I do that all the time. Let's start in verse 4. These things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. Well, we have to go to verse 1. I'm sorry. These things have I told you, or have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogue or church. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think he doeth God service. And the word service is latrial, which means holy service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asketh me whither thou goest. But because I have said these things unto you, you sorrow. That sorrow hath filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, the Paraclete, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. Now those three positions are what the Holy Spirit is doing.
So what is reproof? And when he has come, he will reprove the world? Reproof meaning?
He reproved the world? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he reproves the world of sin.
Reproof meaning?
He reveals it to some, but most he just ignores them.
She's asking what reproof means.
Yeah, what would...
Reproof means judge them. You will convict them of the fact that they've been wrong. That's reproof.
Yeah, but the point of this is these are the only three things that the Holy Spirit is doing. He's reproving the world. Well, it's gone. When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Now the word, the text there is believe not on me always. If you believe not on him sometimes, then he's reproving you.
And how about reproving of righteousness?
Well, we're getting there. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no more. The only righteous position there is to see that. And if he's gone to the Father, you have gone to the Father. Christ in you. If he becomes your life. But if you're still... Again, it's hard for us to understand the humility of the God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He will never violate what you think is right. He just lets you go until you finally see. But this is why the preaching of the cross is the power of God. The preaching of the cross is your death as Son of Man. Your baptism is your burial. But those things, if they're not preached or revealed, then what? Then these things are meaningless.
I think it's unclear there that... And maybe what it means is that if you want righteousness, you go to the Father. You don't try to figure it out on your own. And that's what righteousness, because I go unto the Father, means I didn't seek my own righteousness. I went to him for it.
Okay. Well, that's not necessarily the right one, but that's okay for now.
Okay.
But then he reproves the world of judgment. And that's the only thing that you have the right to say, the prince of the world is judged. So it's righteousness, sin, and judgment. Now, what does that mean? He's never going to violate your will. Until you get that in your head, then you have to see that your only response is, if it isn't him, always is repentance. You may have to repent 1,000,000 times a day. You only might make it 80 at first. But eventually, because of the fear of the Lord, you'll end up seeing that these are the three places. These are the three things that the Holy Spirit is doing, and only. And reveals the world of sin because they believe not on him, of righteousness because it goes to the Father. And that's the only righteousness there is. And of judgment because the prince of the world is judged. And that's the only judgment we have a right to make about any of these things. But this is why the preaching of the cross is the power of God. And again, in all of these things, these letters and between all of the first and second century believers, it's all based on this, what I've just said. But we always want to put our own spin on it. God doesn't care about our own spin. 99.999% of the time, your own spin or what you think it means is wrong. What I think it means is wrong. If it isn't these three.
Yeah, that's what... These three is what... the preaching of the cross is.
That's what?
Those three is what the preaching of the cross is.
Right.
Because in the cross, he did all that.
Yeah, but the preaching of the cross isn't about the cross.
No.
The preaching of the cross is the cross in you now. So, the only righteousness, well, the only sin, the preaching of the, you just heard it, of sin, of righteousness, judgment. But don't put your own spin on those things. You may, but the preaching of the cross will correct that. Okay?
Well, that's also part of that repenting a million times a day thing, is that, you know, it wouldn't be work out your own salvation if there was a standard way of doing it. You just have to figure out for yourselves.
Right, that's why it's so evil, just to go on your own way. And God's, no, he's not. He's not going to violate any, what, just think about it. There, of all the people that we came out of Egypt,
two of them
made it into the promise. Why? Because the rest, what did the rest do?
Unbelief.
Yeah, but they put their own meaning on those scriptures.
I agree with that. There is a verse in scripture that says they didn't enter because of unbelief.
Right, because they didn't enter the rest. That's why it said so that Hebrews, your homework is read Hebrews 3 and 4. But that's all about enter the rest in every area of your life. Enter the rest in every possible place, so that you know finally that the Sabbath isn't a day. That was a parable. The Sabbath is Jesus Christ himself. And that's why you in him and him in you must enter the rest and stay there. All right.
Amen.
Take a big breath.